I don't know what you need to be set free from today, but I know Jesus can set you free from it. Maybe it's shame or guilt. Maybe it's resentment and bitterness. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's some heavy burden you've been carrying. Whatever it is, Jesus can set you free. Jesus said, we will know the truth, and once we know it, it will set us free. What is this truth?
That's the Reverend Dr. Charlie Reeb, and today he brings you a powerful message of faith and hope. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Dr. Charles Reeb, senior pastor of Pasadena Community Church, a historic United Methodist congregation in St. Petersburg, Florida. He has also served churches in Orlando and Lakeland, Florida, and Atlanta and Athens, Georgia. Charlie is the author of several books, including his latest, entitled That'll Preach, Five Simple Steps to Your Best Sermon Ever, which is coming out next spring from Abingdon Press. He's a graduate of Florida Southern College and Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta, and earned his Doctor of Ministry degree from Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. Charlie, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You were last with us a couple of years ago, and you've now served as senior pastor of Pasadena Community Church in St. Petersburg for 8 years now. What's happening at your church these days that has you most excited as their senior pastor?
Well, what has me most excited is what has continued to happen at the church, and that is our continued growth into the community. There's a reason why we call it Pasadena Community Church. The vision of the church has always been we want to be part of the community. So that just continues to grow with the outreach in schools, to the homeless, to those in need, teaching English as a second language, just a bunch of different things and various ministries reaching the community. That has me excited, definitely.
I noticed the mission statement for the church on your website invites people to experience love in action, to connect to real people, real pastors, and a real God, to grow in faith and find your mission, and to serve Christ by serving others and sharing your witness. So you're very active in the community. Are there ways that you can build that community spirit in your people?
Certainly. Worship, of course, that's obvious. And I preach a lot of sermons that have to do with putting love into action. In fact, every Sunday, we repeat that vision statement. And every Sunday, I tell them why we need to repeat it. And I actually lift up the phrase, love in action, that at the end of the day, what we're about is putting God's love into action. So when you preach about it and you name the vision statement often enough, it begins to stick.
In these times when increasing numbers are shunning church membership, why is this mission of connecting with others, growing and serving so important? What are people missing if they're not involved in a religious community?
You know, of course, you hear a lot of the statistics and the research that say a certain group of people connect with a church, not just in worship, but maybe they connect through a service project or some kind of ministry. But I think one of the things that people miss when they're not part of a church is a support system that is unlike any other support system. I mean, there's no other institution in the world where you're going to be part of a group with different age groups, people of different tastes, and even theology, and different generations. And I think that's really valuable. Everything is so segmented in our culture today. And so the church is really the only last institution in many ways where you can be part of a support group with so many different kinds of people in different ages.
And of course, Pasadena Community Church has a fascinating history. In fact, as we've discussed before, its pastor for 40 years was one of the most popular Protestant hour preachers of the last century, J. Wallace Hamilton. Remind us of his achievements and some of the history of this great church.
Actually, J. Wallace Hamilton, yes, of course, he was an incredible preacher. But what many don't realize is what a visionary he was, what a visionary leader. In fact, the original Pasadena Church was not in its present location. He actually moved the church out to where it is now, and people thought he was crazy to do it because it was in the middle of nowhere. Mm. But he had the vision to know that eventually the vacationers and the neighborhoods would grow, and the church would grow along with it. And so he really had the last laugh because he moved it out there and it began to grow. Mm. And he just built the church one step to the other and was really a leader in that way.
You had a dear mentor and friend, as did I, Dr. Bill Self, who passed away in January. I know you grew up in his church, didn't you?
I did.
What did he teach you about being a pastor and a preacher?
Wow. I think the most important thing he taught me, and there are so many things, but he taught me to preach with conviction and not be afraid to preach with conviction. In fact, I remember getting a letter from him when I first started out in ministry, and he had been listening to my sermons. Mm. And again, this is when I first started out, and he sent me this letter, and it was well-written and it was sensitive and everything. But basically the bottom line was he told me, Charlie, you're holding something back in your sermons. People come to church to be inspired by the convictions of the preacher. Mm. And so don't be afraid to throw your head back and let it fly. And that really was a turning point in my preaching when I received his letter. So that was one of the biggest things he taught me.
Well, you love to preach, and recently at Pasadena, you did a series of sermons called Pop Verses, and we'll hear versions of two of those sermons today and next week. Tell us about that series and how it was received.
You know, for many people, it was kind of an eye-opening experience for them because, as we know, a lot of the verses we focused on are verses that we have heard and read all of our lives, especially those of us who have been in churches. Mm-hmm. And many people never really looked at the deeper meaning of the verse and the context of the verse. And so it was an experience of learning to really see the rich meaning and insights of the text that maybe they never thought about. Mm-hmm. They just were thinking about the surface of the verse, and we dug a little deeper. And I think it was very meaningful and enriching in that way.
Well, your sermon today is based on what is arguably the most well-known and beloved verse in the New Testament, John 3:16. Why do you think it's such a popular verse?
Well, one, because it encapsulates everything. Mm. Like I said in the message, in 27 words, it sums up in a very succinct way what the gospel is. And so I think anytime you can put something that succinctly, it's very portable and it's easy to remember. And I think that's one of the reasons why.
Give us some context for this verse. What's going on in this passage?
Well, of course, Nicodemus is coming to see Jesus. And Nicodemus sees Jesus at night because many people think, of course, he was a Pharisee and he didn't want anybody to see him going to see Jesus because he was so controversial. And I think there was a hunger in Nicodemus to learn something more of this Jesus and the love and the truth that he taught. And so the context of John 3:16 is seen in the light of someone searching for more and searching for truth and actually being very attracted to Jesus and what he taught.
Your sermon is entitled The Gospel in Miniature. Charlie, thank you for being with us.
It's great to be here.
My soul, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Martin Luther called this verse the gospel in miniature. In just 27 words, it sums up the gospel. It has become the mantra of our faith. But this verse has a problem. It suffers from overexposure. It has been quoted so often that many of us no longer feel its power. Perhaps for some, this verse is connected to bad evangelism. Maybe some obnoxious, fire-breathing preacher quoted it trying to cajole you into becoming a Christian. Ever since then, John 3:16 means, turn or burn. Or what about the well-meaning but tacky guy on TV holding up a sign of John 3:16 behind a professional golfer? And of course, how can we ever forget seeing John 3:16 written below the eyes of football stars as they run out on the field? Again, this verse suffers from overexposure. Its impact and meaning have diminished for many people. I want us to experience the power of John 3:16 again, to push aside all the baggage and experience it anew. I believe if you allow yourself to experience the truth of this verse today, it can set you free. Whether you're a Christian seeking renewal or a skeptic seeking more in life, the truth of today's verse can set you free from whatever is holding you back. It can give you the peace you're craving. Jesus spoke about the freedom and peace we crave in the 8th chapter of John when he said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I don't know what you need to be set free from today, but I know Jesus can set you free from it. Maybe it's shame or guilt. Maybe it's resentment and bitterness. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's some heavy burden you've been carrying. Whatever it is, Jesus can set you free. But what is that truth that will set us free? Jesus said, "We will know the truth, and once we know it, it will set us free." What is this truth? I believe John 3:16 expresses the truth that sets us free. The context of this verse is someone seeking to be free. His name was Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee who followed the law rigorously. He sought to earn God's love through following a bunch of religious rules. Maybe you can relate to Nicodemus. Perhaps you've always seen faith and religion as a bunch of rules and thou shalt nots. Maybe you grew up with that idea drilled into you, and it's hard to break free from it. I imagine Nicodemus was also tired of religion as rule-following and wanted to be set free. I imagine when he heard Jesus teach and preach, his heart was moved. He sensed something different about Jesus. He was unlike any other rabbi he had ever heard. He had this overwhelming love about him. Nicodemus was curious about this truth Jesus was preaching about. So Nicodemus met Jesus and asked some questions. Jesus told Nicodemus that when he is lifted up, he would understand. Jesus was referring to his crucifixion. It is then that the writer of John reveals the gospel in miniature. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." This verse says, "For God so loved." So many people see God as a power-hungry deity who demands submission. Some think God is not satisfied until we feel terrible about ourselves. That is not the God revealed in Jesus Christ, and that is not the God revealed in John 3:16. God loves you. God created you. You are God's child. I like what Max Lucado says. God loves you so much that if he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. But God's love goes deeper than a Hallmark card. And God's love wasn't just lip service. God demonstrated his profound love for us by giving us his Son. The verse says he gave. God held nothing back in demonstrating his love for us. God wooed us back to him by giving us his Son. Now this is when this verse gets tricky for some of us. Did God give himself, or did God give his Son? If you've ever felt that way, you're not alone. Think of the Trinity. The Trinity is a way of expressing the three main ways God expresses himself in the world. God is the Father who creates, the Holy Spirit who guides and sustains, and the Son who is with us and loves us intimately. So one way to understand this verse is that on the cross, God gave the most vulnerable part of himself to us. As Philippians says, God emptied himself to us in Christ. It was the ultimate display of love. The cross is God's poetry of love. See the cross not as a legal event, but as poetry. On the cross, God in Christ is saying, "You want to know how much I love you? I love you this much." And John 3:16 tells us this love is for everyone, for the whole world. The verse doesn't say, "God so loved the perfect people," or "God so loved the religious people." It doesn't say God so loved the United Methodists or the Presbyterians. It doesn't say, for God so loved the bold and the beautiful. Nor does it say, God so loved America or God so loved Europe. It says, God so loves the whole wide world he created. And this God desires everyone to believe in him. And this first believe doesn't mean intellectual assent. It doesn't mean doing a bunch of mental gymnastics. There is a mystery to God that we can never wrap our finite minds around. Believe means to invest. Whenever you invest your heart and life into God, you will experience life as you were destined to live it. And this verse calls that life eternal life. You will not perish but have eternal life. When you invest your life in God, you will not perish by living a meaningless life. You will live an eternal life. This translates life of God. It is a life filled with love and joy and hope and peace and purpose and adventure. It's eternal, but it begins now. So I believe John 3:16 can be summed up in five words. Here's the truth that will set you free. God is crazy about you. Augustine said, God loves each one of us as if there's only one of us to love. God held nothing back to show you how much he loves you. God became vulnerable in Christ to seek a relationship with you. God is crazy about you. Believe it or not, convincing people of this is one of my toughest jobs as a pastor. Sometimes it feels as if I cannot preach on the love of God enough. There are so many voices tearing people down. There is so much violence and hate in the world. There are so many people with toxic faith presenting God as an angry judge. And on this 15th anniversary of 9/11, we are too aware of how much hate and bigotry there is in the world. We know God's love is stronger than hate, but it can get discouraging with such unspeakable bloodshed and violence all over this world. So I will preach in season and out of season of the love of God. I will never stop preaching that God's love is greater than hate, stronger than death, and more powerful than evil. I know some of you need to experience God's love in the worst way. You've been beat up, put down, knocked out, pushed aside. Perhaps you're thinking, does anyone love me? Does anyone care? Does anyone understand? Does anyone know how I feel? And Christ reaches out to you with nail-scarred hands and says, oh, I do. I love you. I understand you. I care about you. I'm crazy about you. I'm here to love and empower you. For God so loved the world. I recall preaching at a youth camp several years ago. The worship service went really late. I didn't get up to preach until about 11 p.m. It didn't help that I had the flu, but it was the last service of the week and I had to finish. I don't know what I said. I was so sick. I was just trying to get through it. After the service, a teenage girl approached me. She looked very angry. She said, I have to find out if something is true. I replied, what's that? She said, you mentioned tonight that God loves me. Do you believe that? I don't believe anyone has ever loved me. My dad left me, and my mother abused and neglected me, and you're telling me that God loves me? I looked into her eyes and said, that's right. I know this for certain. God loves you. You know how I know? God got up on a cross and said, this is how much I love you. She paused for a moment, and tears began rolling down her cheeks. Then she said, well, if God loves me, then nothing else matters. If God loves me, that's all that matters. I said, sweetheart, you've just learned something it takes some people a lifetime to learn. God is crazy about you. Open your heart to God's love. It will set you free. Let us pray. Lord, we open our minds and hearts and lives to your transforming love. Free us, forgive us, renew us, and empower us. Enable us to love you and our neighbor with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to love as you have loved us. Amen.
The Reverend Dr. Charlie Reeb was our preacher for today. Charlie is the senior pastor of Pasadena Community Church, a United Methodist congregation in St. Petersburg, Florida. For a free transcript of his message, The Gospel in Miniature, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Please keep in mind that Day 1 depends on the financial offerings of our faithful listeners. We're grateful for your support. Send your donation to Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, Dr. Charlie Reeb returns to Day 1 with a sermon called The Secret. You won't want to miss it. Charlie Reeb offers some final thoughts on his sermon today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Charlie, thank you for your insights into this much-loved verse, John 3:16. But at the beginning of your sermon, you acknowledged that it is so well-known that it has lost its meaning and impact for many. As you walked us through this verse, you helped restore that, I'm sure, for many of us. But bigger picture question here, are there things we can do when reading and studying the very familiar stories and teachings and verses of the Bible to keep them from losing their power?
Of course, I think the most obvious one is to read different translations of Scripture. I think sometimes we get into a rut, and we preachers are the worst at it, maybe sometimes, of always reading the same translation.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many resources out there in terms of different translations, free ones online.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to look at four or five different translations when you're studying for a sermon or just for devotional time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those translations will look at it in a different way and may say it in a different way.
John 3:16, of course, starts out, "For God so loved," and you talked about how many people see God as power-hungry deity or judge, but Jesus makes it very clear that God approaches us in love. If we've got the wrong image of God, how do we let that realization break through to our soul?
That's a very good question, because I think it's really hard for people.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my experience, especially if they've grown up in religious settings, to break free from that understanding of God. And I will say, in my ministry setting, I have to work really hard in my sermons to help people who come to worship, who come from those situations, to see God in a loving way, as
mm-hmm.
the verse says. And I think the most obvious way to do that is to continue to expose yourself to good theology in churches,
mm-hmm.
to preaching and Bible study that really has a solid foundation on who God is and who he isn't revealed in Jesus Christ. But it's a process, and it takes time,
mm-hmm.
quite honestly,
mm-hmm.
for people. And that's why, you know, our work is cut out for us in that way.
And you summarize John 3:16 in five words: God is crazy about you, or as Augustine put it, God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us to love. And as you said, convincing people of this is one of your toughest jobs as pastor. But particularly as we observe the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, are there ways that we can help one another in community to experience this love of God?
Yes, I think just being present and together as a congregation. I know a lot of congregations will have a worship service to remember what happened, to pray, not only for 9/11, but everything else that has been going on. And that is to simply be present with each other. I think sometimes it's difficult to know what to say in the midst of difficult circumstances. And I think sometimes the best way is just to be a listening ear to people and to be vulnerable and real. And in church, hopefully that's a place where you can do that.
Charlie, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week?
Well, I hate to be so obvious about it, but God is crazy about you.
Charlie Reeb, thank you for being with us. We look forward to having you back next week.
Thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.